Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 28th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of our great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. First, the recap of yesterday's broadcast, then we jump straight to our guest in seconds. Jim Babka with us. Do you have what it takes to be an agenda setter? DownsizeDC.org. You can set the agenda for all of America with this simple trick called option activism. We talked about the Read the Bills Act, the One Subject at a Time Act, and more. It's all about zero aggression. Jim Babka back, DownsizeDC.org, doing a great job. We saw him at Freedom Fest. We also had our guest on, Carla Howell. She's a singer, songwriter, and a liberty activist. CarlaHowell.com. She believes that music is essential for freedom. I would agree. Dr. Ron Paul, if ever you can bring about a revolution or changes, two things would be required. Young people would have to be involved and would need music. Amen to that. First, Do No Harm, a song by Carla Howell. Yeah, we want accountability from our elected officials. First, Do No Harm, no question about that. That's going to be turned into a video as well. Hour two yesterday, we had our guest on, Howard Lichtman, thickredline.org. The biggest scam in history exposed, government-scam.com. Victimless crimes are not really crimes. Join our next forum for officers. How to redline your departments for chiefs, sheriffs, deputies, and police officers. We then had our guest on, Jared Taylor, president and CEO of Heritage Academy. HeritageAcademyAZ.com, building America's heroes. We talked about millions of Americans getting stranded as airlines and travel industry melts down. American Airlines just slashed over 1,000 flights. Southwest Airlines concedes. Flight woes, pledges fixes USA Today. Car rental costs are spiking. Out of control, that's if you can even find a vehicle, they say. Rental car rates skyrocketing. Rental car costs surge to record highs. Because rental companies have to purchase higher-priced vehicles. Now they have to pass that along to you and I. What a disaster. Anyway, we talked about all that. We played several interviews, pre-recorded but fresh content from Freedom Fest. And there's the recap. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Speaking of Freedom Fest, our guest, Alex Spicer, professional social media expert, successful social media consultant, and a talk show host in his own right, The Alex Spicer Show, alexspicer.com, the website. His job is to be the voice, eyes, and ears of a client across a variety of social media platforms to properly engage with and grow audiences. Anyway, he was at Red Pill with us as well. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Alex.
Thank you for having me, Sam. I'm happy to be here.
All right. How did you like Red Pill, first of all, or Freedom Fest? How did you like that?
Oh, it was the greatest spiritual/political revival I've been to in a long time, if ever. The people there were incredible, and it was just so refreshing to be around people who are so like-minded. What I mean by like-minded is not that they all agreed with my point of view, but that they were all in the mindset of how can we improve our country.
The interesting thing that I found about it was so positive, so cheerful. And even people who didn't agree on everything were polite. They agreed to disagree agreeably. It was incredible.
Yes, it was. In fact, one of the most interesting people I remember meeting was this group. They were Atheists for Liberty. And this one man, I apologize, I don't remember his name at the moment, but apparently he was like the lead and president of like the largest atheist organization in America. But he was there because he is supporting this guy, this young man who started his own new one, because he, what they said was, what happened to their original atheist organization is that it became a leftist wing, and they didn't, and it no longer jived with, you know, with anything that was right to them. So I thought that was very interesting to see people who, you know, who are atheists, which is not normal in this sphere, to say, hey, no, we believe in liberty too. We need to have our own organization here.
Well, and the principles of liberty, you and I would tie directly to God. They would not, but they agree with the same principles. You know what? Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. They agree with a lot of the principles that, hey, you know what, you know, karma, what goes around comes around. They believe in a lot of the same principles. They just kind of have different labels or reference points for the same principles, right?
Most definitely. I would just say, I mean, and I say this as respectfully as I can, but that they believe all the same stuff. They just are blind as to where it came from. They don't realize that they rely entirely upon the Judeo-Christian culture and set of principles that everyone else adheres to in order to enjoy any of the beliefs that they have.
Well, sad to say, we can agree to disagree agreeably at Freedom Fest, but that's not happening in the courts of our land.
No.
Appeals court stunner, says the headline, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say that again. Appeals court stunner. State can force Christians to violate religious beliefs. Wow, it seems we have moved from live and let live idea to now you can't say that. Bob Unruh, WND.com with the piece. And this really kind of is a throwback to this gentleman, Mr. Phillips, who didn't want to make cakes promoting agendas that he disagreed with. He said, you could buy anything in my store. I'm not trying to discriminate, but I'm not going to use my talents and my hands, my capabilities, my mind, my heart, my conscience to make things I disagree with. They went to court. He kind of won a narrow victory in the beginning. Then he went back and got beat up. Now we're seeing from cake making to all kinds of things. You're not able to be self-determining. This idea of thou shalt not discriminate is above one's conscience and one's Christian beliefs in the modern era. Now, the interesting thing is all these cases have been battled in Colorado. The appeals court stunner. The states can force Christians to violate their beliefs by forced actions. It's interesting. This case is a lady who doesn't want to use her talents to do things, but the court's basically saying she has to. This is a very serious violation of the right of conscience, Alex.
Yes, it is. In fact, I was very disturbed by what was said. It was said in this case, they wrote that, you know, Smith's free speech and free exercise rights are, of course, compelling, but so too is Colorado's interest in protecting its citizens from harms of discrimination. And immediately when I read that, I thought, you need to help me understand what exactly is the harm of discrimination here, and how does it actually like what is this harm? Because in the end, you are compelling someone to go against your conscience, which means you are now giving someone a greater right than the other, right? If they have the right to tell you what to do, you are now enslaved to them.
It's very hard to understand this. State can force Christians to violate religious beliefs. But I really want to say more than even religious beliefs, though, you're violating one's conscience. And what I find fascinating about that discussion is, you know, your body and your conscience are probably your two most close prized property, if you will, your body and your conscience. But when I look at this case, they basically say, hey, you know what? Your views are compelling, but not compelling enough. The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has created a precedent that the state of Colorado can discriminate against an artist, forcing her to violate her beliefs and provide messages she rejects. That's okay. But the right to your own conscience? No. I don't know where we go with this, Alex, because I'm telling you right now, this is the beginning of the end of liberty in America.
You know, it is. Something that has been on my mind for years now has been, okay, for decades we've had these anti-discrimination laws, and I've always seen them as the gateway to a billy club upon those who are moral and good, because eventually government corrupts itself far enough to where it no longer recognizes that which is moral. And so now we're at that point, right? Where it's like before, oh, you can't, you know, discriminate. You can't say you won't serve any sort of people in your diner or whatever else. But now I'm in the position where it's like, okay, now you can go so far as to say, well, hey, you can't refuse service to anyone, most especially if they're under this protected group that we favor, which nowadays happens to be LGBTQ and also minorities, where we are forgetting the fact that we are all created equal, right? We all have the equal amount of rights. So eventually we're now seeing that the tides turn, and now you can't be a Christian and enjoy your rights without the fear of being compelled by government to do something that which you find reprehensible.
Now, it's hard to know how to even respond to this. It says the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has now created a precedent that the state of Colorado can discriminate against an artist, forcing her to violate her beliefs and provide for and promote messages that she disagrees with and that she rejects in pursuit of its anti-discrimination laws. So rather than her being the discriminating party, now what you got is the government discriminating against the Christians. Let's talk about that and more in seconds with Alex Spicer on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated, global reach via the internet talk show.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
I want to be very clear about this, ladies and gentlemen. I do not promote and or endorse discrimination. I think it's wrong, I think it's evil, and I think it should stop. But I also think people have the right to their own conscience, and people have the right to do what they want to do. Now, if I understand this personally, then I think others should as well. I'm a blind person. And as a blind person, if a restaurant said, you know what, we don't like blind people in here. They're crazy. They knock over their cups and spill all over. And you know what? I just don't want them in my restaurant. I don't agree with that. I would never go to that restaurant, but I believe people have the right to say that if they choose with their own private property, with their own conscience. If they're a racist and they're like, look, we believe that white people, the superior race, are the only race. And we believe that handicaps and defects, physical or mental, you know what? Unacceptable. It's a taint on the human race. And that sounds egregious. And I get it. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly. But the Aryan nations and some people do believe that kind of stuff. The eugenics movement had that view in mind. The United States was clearly part of it back in the day with Hitler and everybody else, by the way. They still are, just underground, is the truth of the matter. Nevertheless, if somebody believes that, they have every right to think and believe that. I have every right to go to a different restaurant. And if I don't like it, I have every right to start my own restaurant. This is a serious, serious issue. And at first, you kind of want to jettison it when it is egregious, where you go, oh my gosh, that view is just horrible. I get it, but what happens when it comes back to your view? What if it comes back to you don't believe in abortion? What if it comes back to you believe the Godhead is a Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost separate from each other, separate three beings, whereas others believe in the Trinity? Or what if you believe in Christ and others don't? Eventually, will they persecute us and say, because we won't deny the Christ, now we're in trouble? Where does this go when this appeals court stunner happens? The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals literally creating a precedent that said, hey, you can't discriminate, Alex, but the government can. The state of Colorado can discriminate against you and force you to act against your conscience, against your will. This is case, I don't even know what to call it. It's beyond case precedent setting. It is an absolute reversal of everything we hold dear in this country, sir. It is absolutely egregious. Alex?
Yeah, when I saw the case here, I literally thought to myself, okay, there's only one other option that people, you know, regardless if you're a Christian or someone else, if you're being forced into servitude, into serving someone, doing something that you feel is not in alignment with your conscience, with your beliefs, then the only way you can try to get around that is to, I guess, carefully try to increase your prices. For example, this lady, she does the one in this case, I believe she does marketing, or at least she does website building. And I can imagine, you know, in her position, you know, what do you do if you're getting clients and stuff, and you're giving them quotes? You'd want to like 10x your quote for them. Say, no, it's actually going to cost you $100,000 for me to build this website. And then the people will just have to say, well, heck no, I'm not paying for that. But my worry is, you know, like, if you try that, then they're going to come at you saying, oh, well, you're discriminating against us. You're now trying to overcharge us. In the end, you make people a second class citizen, right? There's no way of escaping it, because the bullying by the federal government is now becoming complete. It's like a full circle now. They will invade every part of our lives, and we will never be able to escape the reach and breadth of their reach. And that's what scares me here. How do you get around this? How do you say, okay, I'm not going to make this, right? Do you end up going to jail? Like, how can the government believe that it is more harmful to tell someone, no, I don't, you know, that goes against my religious beliefs, than it is to say, you're going to go to jail unless you work for these people?
Well, and here's how it is. There's a gazillion web developers. There's a gazillion artists out there. There's a gazillion people that you can go to. Some will even cater to your agenda. And love to work with that. I mean, you know, gay people or lesbian people, you know, they may have their own specific clients. Non-Christians may have their own clients. Christians may have their own clients or whatever else. And, you know, I believe in free association, Alex, where, you know what, I associate with those who I want to. And I have my own set of rules and guidelines and personal internal governing values that determine who I would work with. For example, I would be willing to build a website for a gay person. Not because I want to promote their agenda, but because I believe it's a kind, appropriate thing to do. The question becomes, everybody has their own lines. When will you do what for whom? I would be willing to, for example, build a website for, what would be a good example? An atheist, even though I'm not an atheist. Because I believe that there's not really a lot of harm in that. However, on the other hand, if they wanted me to build a website to promote abortion, I wouldn't be willing to do it. Those are just my personal lines. Where do I draw the line? I don't really try to draw the line against people. It's actions, and it's how abusive that action is. It's a very difficult situation that we find ourselves in, and everybody has to kind of determine what they want. What the state wants, though, is to be able to determine that for you.
Yeah. I guess I want to plug something in here. You know, you're talking about how you would build a website for someone who's gay, and you know, so would I, but. Unless the website, I would have some qualms against me building a website for someone who where it's the radical LGBTQ agenda, where it's like, will you build this website for us? It promotes basically indoctrinating children into this way of believing and stuff.
Okay, I wouldn't build that. If you're a gay person, same. But you want to build a website for your business, and you are a barber, or you cut hair or whatever, you're a salon, or you're this or that, I'd be willing to promote that in your business and not discriminate. At the same time, I'm not willing to promote one that either has pornography in it or promotes the education of the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever lifestyle to the children. See, there again, that's where the lines start to come in. And everybody should have, at least according to the Declaration of Independence, self-determination. The state of Colorado clearly out of control here. Now, I hope this lady appeals the appeal. But whether it'll go to the Supreme Court or whether it'll just be stymied, time will tell. Now, it's interesting. This cake maker back in the day won the first round. But these folks with their agendas will never give up. They're going to keep at it until they get case precedent in their corner. That's just how they're going to be. Right? You got to provide messages you reject is how the court says it. They're going to keep at it until it never ends, until we lose.
And I think about the case of the baker and everything. You know, he was saying no because, you know, he felt like he couldn't support that. You know, he'll make cakes for anyone, but like if it's for supporting, you know, a gay wedding, gay marriage, you know, that just wasn't within his conscience to do. But what I find shocking, though, with this case here that we're talking about, is the fact that, like, that, you know, whereas before the cake maker narrowly won, now it's becoming very clear that it may not be possible to win anymore. That once there is a protected class, the government is going to do all it can to protect them at the expense of anyone else's rights. And, you know, it is my opinion that these groups, you know, LGBTQ or whomever else who get this special protection by the government, they are not necessarily evil people. Now, there's evil people in every organization, every type of group. But it is merely that the government now has the excuse to infringe upon other people's rights and assume more power than before in the pursuit of protecting one. Protecting a group over another in the pursuit of being righteous and moral. And the point is, the government is only force. It cannot determine what is right and moral. Only human beings can. And the further we've gotten away from our founding principles and Judeo-Christian principles, which help us to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong, the government has gone out of control. And many people, what I am upset about is that many people, especially as millennials like I am, they're not going to see this as anything bad. They're going to say, oh, well, that's a good thing, because they no longer know what is right and what is wrong. They can't see that you have to be congruent, right? How one person should be treated is how the other person should be treated. And we wouldn't want someone to do this to the LGBTQ community. Well, then we shouldn't want someone to do this to the Christian community either.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Spicer with me riding shotgun on the show today. The Alex Spicer Show, that's his podcast. Immoral and religious perspective is one of the things he brings to the table. And you know what? I've really doubled down on that as well. And that's why the two of us are talking about this issue. Ladies and gentlemen, understand this. We're not trying to discriminate against anyone, but we are trying to uphold our beliefs, our right of conscience. Remember, they used to say when it was women wanting to murder their babies, my body, my choice. Now, this artist must use her body to promote opinions and beliefs and messages she rejects, all in the pursuit of anti-discrimination laws. Sounds quite discriminatory to me by the government. So the only ones allowed to be a racist is your government. The only one allowed to discriminate now is your government. And you think, well, I don't have a business, Sam. I just work for somebody. It won't come to a theater near me, so to speak. Yes, it will. Headline says, the Department of Justice declares COVID-19 vaccine mandates legal. Talk about the repercussions of that with Alex Spicer in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated talk show.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The CDC again flip-flopped on its masking guidelines for people who have been fully vaccinated. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky on Tuesday.
The largest concern that I think we in public health and science are worried about is that virus and the potential mutations away. We are from a very transmissible virus that has the potential to evade our vaccines in terms of how it protects us from severe disease and death.
President Biden in May.
Let me repeat, if you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Democrat political donor Ed Buck was convicted Tuesday of supplying fatal methamphetamine doses to two men at his West Hollywood apartment. Buck could face life in prison after the guilty verdict. 4 years ago, Jamel Moore was found dead from an OD in Buck's Hollywood apartment. Timothy Dean was found dead from an OD at the same apartment in January of 2019. USA Radio News.
They're calling it the new socialism. More and more Democratic lawmakers want everyone to get a basic income, even if they don't work. Free health care, free college, and more. Now, every night this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax pushing back on the new socialism and its leaders like AOC and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden's spending programs are already costing you trillions as inflation is soaring. If you care about your money, you need to watch Rob Schmidt tonight. Find out why socialism doesn't really work and how it actually can cost you a lot. Get Newsmax TV on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax or you can switch. Also, find Newsmax for free on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anywhere. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's news they can trust.
Let's get an update from Nancy Pelosi's January 6th commission. Dan Naraki explains.
A select House committee to investigate the January 6th riots at the Capitol heard testimony Tuesday from four police officers who defended the building from rioters. Congressman Jim Jordan was not in that hearing, though he was nominated to the committee by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. But his appointment was rejected by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The Ohio Republican tells Fox News that he believes he was left off of the committee because of the questions he would ask of the Speaker's office.
No, it was a terrible day, and the people who did wrong need to be held accountable. And, Brett, that's exactly what's happening. The real question is, and I've said this many times, is why weren't those guys who testified today and all the other Capitol Hill police who protect this and protect Capitol Hill, why weren't they given more help? Why wasn't more help there that day? And the only person who can answer that question is the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. And I think she thought we were going to keep raising that question, and that's why she didn't put me on.
Thanks for listening. USA Radio News.
All right, live, Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Alex Spicer with me. We're talking about serious, serious concerns in America now. Agency by the wayside, self-determination by the wayside, right of conscience, right of beliefs to worship how, where, or what you may on the chopping block in America. Appeals court stunner. State can force Christians to violate their beliefs, force them to take action against their better judgment. Yeah, this lady has to go against what she believes, and she has to promote messages that she rejects, all on the altar of the state. In pursuit of its anti-discrimination laws, ladies and gentlemen, very serious indeed. But that's one thing. You say, I don't have a business, I don't have to worry. Yeah, you do. Because now you take this second reality check and you go, wow, we're in serious trouble in America. The Department of Justice, the DOJ, declares COVID-19 vaccine mandates legal. So let me get this right. They can't stop you from murdering your baby. It's your God-given right. You have the right to your body. It's your body, your choice, free choice, pro-choice, whatever, to murder babies for literally 50 years. Over 60 million babies murdered under that deceptive, dishonest, immoral logic. Nevertheless, now when it comes to taking the vaccines, they can force me to take them. If it's me wanting to, them wanting to promote a perverted agenda, I'm forced to carry out that perverted agenda as a Christian. You put these two tandem cases together, Alex, and what can they not force you to do, sir? They can force you to do anything, right?
No, you're right. You're right. They can force you to do basically anything at this point. So what I thought was really interesting is that there's a law concerning emergency use authorization powers, right? And essentially, those powers grant anyone the right to do anything. And the idea of rights go away because, hey, it's an emergency. You know, I have to do this. And here's what I see. You know, I see the pattern here, just as discussed previously with the this young woman who lost her case about having her right to say, no, I don't want to make a website that is against my conscience. And now she's been forced into it. You're not going to see just the government say, hey, like, we as the government and also business entities have the right to require vaccinations to be employed and to work. It's going to go beyond that. You're eventually going to see, I'm very certain of it, you're eventually going to see where the government says, actually, we are now going to check in on businesses and perhaps even individuals and families. And if you do not, for example, if you are the business owner and if you do not require employees to be vaccinated, your business may not run until you do so. Or if you are, you know, you're an individual, they may say also, if you have chosen not to get vaccinated, you may not go to work until you do so.
Very, very concerning. Headline says employers can force employees to get vaccines as well. So now the department saying the Department of Justice saying that these forced vaccines are legal. And then the headline from the New York Times says, yes, your employer can require you to be vaccinated. This is a very serious issue going on here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know how to respond to it, but listen up. The Department of Veterans Affairs of California and New York City have both already said that they would require some, if not all, of their government workers to be vaccinated. In addition, Washington Post will require all employees to get vaccine. Katie Robinson with that piece. This is serious because now we're really looking at, they're going to force you to do whatever they want you to do, promoting the perverted agenda that are against Christian beliefs, and then they're going to force you to take the vaccinations. Forced masks, that's where it started. A lot of us pushed back, not enough of us, obviously. Now they're literally going to be forcing the jab. And they're going to do it by hook or by crook. They're not going to do it in all government agencies. They're not going to do it across the board mandated by government, but they're going to literally get the big business owners to jump aboard, and by hook or by crook, they'll backdoor this thing to where they're forcing vaccines. What's next? Taking away your right to keep and bear arms? They've already violated your speech to the point where it's obliterated. They violated your religious beliefs. They claim that governments say they can lock you out of church now. They can prevent you from assembling now. Got to have social distancing and masks. They can, and so now they're going to be working on the Second Amendment after they get this right of conscience violated. I think that's where we're headed, Alex, and the force is evident literally everywhere, some by government, some by business. Now, they will say, well, the business can do whatever they want. Somewhat true, somewhat false. It's true in a general sense that businesses can do what they want, but when businesses are funded by government or they become too large by government special privilege and or support, at some point it's not just a private business anymore. That'll be the kind of discussion battle coming up as well. What do you say to this, though, Alex? With these two cases and now the Department of Justice declaring that, and then also yes, your employer can require you to be vaccinated. I don't know how we're going to stop this now, sir.
Yeah, the only thing that comes to mind is, well, there's two things primarily. One is the Second Amendment is becoming more and more serious for us, right? Where it's like this is the only thing that is going to stop the government from forcing us to do everything, right? Keeping us from being slaves to them. And also, states need to step it up. You're gonna find people more so in the next coming months than even now, people who are looking for states that will protect their rights, who will say to the federal government, no way, you can't make that precedent, you can't say that's required, and these people have the right to live as they choose. And so you're going to find basically sanctuary states. We essentially already have that now. But I believe the sanctuary states are going to come down to just a few ripe ones, such as Florida, South Dakota, Utah, and Idaho, or Wyoming, Montana, perhaps. And so people are going to flee there. And in the end, at least, you know, I'm not trying to be extreme or anything here, but if the government is not kept in check, if we don't have governors and state governments that are willing to stand up to it, then it's eventually going to start spreading across the country to where you have nowhere else to run. And the only thing left you have to keep yourself safe from this infringement of rights is the Second Amendment. Now, and I'm not trying to sound radical or anything, but that's just kind of the reality of it. But it seems like there's nothing left in the book except for a few things that can tell this current administration, no, that you can't go that far.
Now, here's what I find interesting. Yesterday on the broadcast, I highlighted that we're starting to see travel woes across the country. Shortages in car rentals, sky-high rental costs for cars, airlines that just cancel flights willy-nilly. People are just stuck everywhere, stranded. As you know, I was planning to fly to South Dakota for the events, had to cancel my flights and drive. I don't know if you know, but Jay and Cameron, our buddies, literally on their way back, got stranded. They canceled their flight, no flight for a couple of days, struggled to get a hotel, paid extravagant Uber fees to get somewhere, eventually were forced to take their Greyhound for literally 10 hours plus just to get home because they couldn't rent a car. They had no other choices. They were literally stranded by the airlines. What they're creating in America eventually, and you're going to see more and more and more of this, there might be a halt in the program to make you feel better for a time. I don't know the progression, but eventually it's going to be impossible to travel state to state, Alex, with the different rules, red, blue, separating more and more and more. Literally every industry is being attacked. The mortgage industry got attacked because of the fiscal moral hazard. Now you have the whole airline industry and the whole travel industry literally shut down and manipulated over COVID. And whatever the case may be next, whatever she was going to drop next, all these things add up to pretty soon it won't even be safe to travel state to state. And the more Christian you are, the more perilous it will become. Over time, that's where we're headed as a godless society, sir.
That is correct. You have a lot of different, I like to call them waves, of difficulties being thrown at us purposefully by the government. I don't believe any of this is accidental. If it's an accident, then you really can make an explosion in a print shop and have a perfectly printed book, because, you know, you can't just say, oh, it's accidental that the government now says, you know, you don't have the right to of religious conscience to go to church despite COVID-19, or to refuse to do work because it, you know, goes against your religious beliefs. You no longer have the right to say, no, this is my body, this is my choice. I don't want to get the vaccine for whatever my reason is. It is, it's none of your business. It doesn't matter. It's going so far, and my concern is not enough Americans care, right? We have proven by our own lack of action that we are willing to put up with a lot of infringement, and that only emboldens the government. I don't know how much better things would be now if Trump were president, because something that I find is a big flaw when Trump was president during COVID-19 is that he really did nothing to protect religious freedom and liberties when they shut down churches from COVID-19.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Alex Spicer with me. A whole lot more to come. Hang tight. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Interesting, the communist Chinese on the 4th of July mocked America's right to keep and bear arms, promoting a series of cartoons. Chinese propaganda outlet takes to Twitter to mock the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. Communist China out of control, mocking the Second Amendment on July the 4th, and Twitter going along with it. So I can't tell the truth on Twitter. I get shut down. But the communist Chinese can use Twitter as their pawn to carry out communist agendas. And you can say that doesn't relate, Sam. And my response is, oh, yeah? Well, Joe Biden's mocking my right to keep and bear arms, too, along with the communist Chinese. Isn't that interesting? Joe Biden kind of mocked and said, look, and it doesn't matter what you have, you'll never have the firepower of the government. You can't win that. Patriots will be dead. Just a shame. But you know what? You're going to be forced to take vaccines, folks, and you're going to be forced to violate your conscience and promote all kinds of sin. China mocking America's right to bear arms, but they're not the only ones. Now, three Senate Republicans are trying to do a good job, and they're calling on the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. The Epoch Times with the piece in a 33-page brief. Senators Josh Hawley of Missouri, Mike Lee of Utah, and Ted Cruz of Texas asked the court to use a Mississippi case to be reviewed next term as a vehicle to overturn Roe versus Wade and related rulings, calling the status quo untenable. I commend them. I wish Rand Paul was in the mix there. That's a good start. But again, we're battling literally, 70 years or 1973 to now, 50 years later, we're trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. At the same time, they're violating our conscience, violating our free will everywhere. I pray they're successful, but I don't have confidence in the Trump judges. Alex, what do you say?
Yeah, I similarly do not have a confidence in the Trump judges, especially given how they handled the concerns over election fraud. They don't even consider the evidence there. I just feel like they will try to keep status quo in order to not rock things up too much. When really Roe versus Wade has been in my opinion, a Supreme Court decision that was without standing. You had no real reason to support it other than it seemed like a politically convenient thing to do at the time, because we're in a place now where rights don't matter as much anymore, and you can't say that there's no connection between that and the greatest violation of human rights, which is abortion. That is the greatest violation of human rights, because those are the most innocent human beings on this planet. They have literally done nothing wrong, and they are also the most unprotected now. We can't even protect the most innocent. Then why on earth do we expect that we can protect ourselves when we ourselves have many, many causes, made up or real, that the government could use against us? So yeah, I believe that this is the right thing to do, to really overturn Roe versus Wade, because if we want to really work on reestablishing our rights as firm and inviolable, then we have to go back to this fundamental decision, which is, are human beings in the womb Are they human beings, or are they a virus? And do women, you know, who get pregnant, do they have a responsibility to, you know, to at least care for that child because they are in a state of dependence, and until they're able to be taken care of by someone else? This is the whole reason why we even have social services. The government goes, hey, you're not taking care of your children properly. We recognize that they have needs. They're not, you know, they aren't a virus or any sort of tapeworm on you. You know, they depend upon you. If you don't take care of them, well, they have rights too. You know, somehow there's this great disconnect. We need to create alignment here, or we will never find true alignment for any of our rights.
Now, I find it fascinating about this very discussion. I don't predict that they get rid of Roe versus Wade entirely, but I do predict they might push it back to the states. And if that happens, what you'll get is a red and blue divide even further than I've mentioned. You'll have the blue states literally murdering babies left and right. The red states will put a halt to the murder to a great degree. And what you're going to have is the states divided on these core issues. You'll have vaccines as one issue. You'll have climate change as another issue. You'll have abortion as another issue. It's going to be serious. And I'll give you an example to prove the point. Even in Washington right now, Nancy Pelosi put together her January 6th, you know, body to look into it. And they're having everybody come out and go, it was horrible. The poor cops were just abused by all these out-of-control insurrectionists. But it's so partisan, it's beyond belief. Well, to make partisan even worse, now the GOP says they're going to form their own January 6th commission after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi vetoed two of the nominees that Kevin McCarthy from the House GOP wanted to put in place. So you find this very interesting, because you're kind of going to go, when he pulled the other folks from participating now, we're just going to have two commissions. And all they're going to do is come out with completely two different narratives. And then the American people are left to decide which they want. The mainstream press will back the main narrative, call everybody else conspiracy theorists. Then the new media taking center stage will back the narrative of the, quote, Republicans. The truth, obviously, probably somewhere to some degree in the middle. Nevertheless, you'll have a divide on that front. And every single issue starts to smack of division. And I don't really know how to overcome most of that, Alex. Because people aren't willing to sit down and listen. People aren't willing to be fair. They're just willing to double down on their partisan stance. And they're simply not willing to negotiate or discuss or work together at all.
And you're right there. I feel like, so let me give you an example. Last night, I conducted an interview for my podcast and for an episode that's actually going to come out here soon. And this is a guy that we agreed on a number of things, but there are also, you know, I have some strong disagreements with him when it comes to COVID-19, wearing masks, and the vaccine. And I was able to tell him, hey, like, you know, he expressed his opinion, and he felt safe to do so. And I didn't shoot him down and say, oh, you're wrong there, mister. Yeah, let him say it. And he probably, when saying these things, probably thought that I would agree with him. And then I was able to say, hey, like, actually, I have a bit of a different stance on this. And I was able to say so. And we were able to hear each other. And we didn't come away from that feeling like, gosh, that guy's an idiot. You know, he didn't think that about me, not I about him. And, you know, that I feel like that's why organizations like the one that we encountered at the Freedom Fest are incredibly powerful, like Braver Angels, where people are so focused, where we focus on bringing people from other sides of the aisle together to discuss these issues, to hear one another. Because if we can hear one another, we can listen to one another, take away the politicians, get them out of our ears, because they're literally the devils that sit on our shoulders and speak to us. Get them out of our ears. Same with CNN, all these other agencies. And allow us to just hear one another and what they actually think and feel. Then we're going to find that there's a lot, there's actually a big path forward that we've been blind to all along.
There's no doubt about it, Alex, and I think that this is an example where I think we can come together if we just would. The problem is I don't see the leaders doing so. I wrote an article back in 2015 called A Clarion Call for Civility, and I tried to get it published everywhere, and most wouldn't publish it. They're just like, not interested. But yet they were begging for people to work together, but yet they wouldn't publish my article. It's kind of interesting. But here's an example to make the point where I go across the aisle oftentimes to defend and protect principles that are correct, not people, okay? Former Senator Barbara Boxer. Now, she's as liberal and as extreme as they get. I agree with her on virtually nothing. However, it turns out she got robbed in Oakland, California. She's a Democrat, 80 years old, not seriously injured. Now, they basically pushed her, took her cell phone is what they did. And I don't know if this was just take your cell phone because you might sell it and get money, simple thing. Or if it was a thing where they're going to take your cell phone and try to plumb it for information, for factual information that can be leaked. I don't really know the agenda. But here's what I would say. I don't care if it's Barbara Boxer or anybody. I reject the violence there. I reject the theft there. I defend Barbara Boxer. She has the right to be left alone. She has the right to be dealt with peacefully. And this is wrong, and I reject the wrongs done to her. And I'm grateful that she wasn't seriously hurt. Now, this is somebody who's completely on the opposite aisle from me, Alex. But I bring this up because, look, I don't want any harm to befall those who I politically disagree with. I sure hope they'll come to their senses someday. But I don't wish any harm on any of them. And I'm defending this person, Barbara Boxer, and saying, hey, she has no right to be treated like that. That's wrong and needs to stop. And I'll defend her just as much as I will the next guy.
And that's, I really like that you shared that, because that just goes to show that you can have, you know, vehement differences. You know, like you can be very hotly against what someone else believes and does, but you can still be for them in terms of how they ought to be treated, how and you know, what rights they ought to maintain. And that is, yeah, they have the right to due process of law. If, you know, if they are under investigation, they have right to receive support from authorities in order to get that phone back in her case. And we should all feel similarly, which is, man, that's not a good situation to be in. I don't want that done to myself. You know, I thought about this actually last night as I was reading the Bible actually with my kids, and we came across the verse which says, you know, the first great commandment in the law is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind. But the second is likened to it, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And I when I read that, it hit me. I was like, my goodness, that is what we're missing in our society now, is that this principle of loving other people as ourselves, meaning that we believe that regardless of who they are, regardless of what we disagree with them about, they are still deserving of love and care and concern, right? I would never. To give an analogy here, if there were a tornado outside and I had a cellar and someone comes driving down the road, maybe it's Nancy Pelosi, I'm going to bring Nancy Pelosi into my cellar if she needs to come in because there's a tornado coming down the road. I'm not going to say, oh, Nancy, yeah, you can stay outside there, young lady.
Yeah, rip no, you, Nancy. Sorry, it sucks for you there. See, we don't go view, ladies and gentlemen. That violates our religious and our moral beliefs.
That's exactly right, and you said it right there, Sam. And this is what we are facing now today is you have a government enabling people to step outside of the mindset of caring for the individual, because we no longer have a government that is led by people who adhere to those same moral Christian values and principles.
It is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that civility can take the center stage. Okay, I can disagree with Barbara Boxer. I can articulate my beliefs separate from her, but I can be kind. I can be gentle. I can follow the Prince of Peace. I can set an example, and I can hopefully, you know what, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, make a difference and promote civility. That's what we need to work on and do, ladies and gentlemen. A final good news story. Looks like Hillsdale College launches 1776 curriculum promoting honest history in K through 12 classrooms. That's great news. Hillsdale College, 1776 curriculum, available now, and good on them for doing it. Alex, thank you so much. Riveting hour, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
There he goes, Alex Spicer, ladies and gentlemen. He's a professional social media expert. He's also a talk show host, The Alex Spicer Show, and he focuses on a moral and religious perspective. AlexSpicer.com. Check it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hour one of the can, two coming up. I'm Sam Bushman. We declare God save the Republic of the United States of America.